Support for this public radio podcast comes from Pabst Brewing, proud supporter of local artists nationwide, and of the NPR Live in Concert series, online at PabstBlueRibbon.com.
Hello, we're talking tunes again. You found Music Heads. It's where we chat a little more in depth about some of the new music that's caught our ears. Music Heads presented by 89.3, The Current from Minnesota Public Radio. Music Heads is supported by Mill City Live, featuring White Light Riot on July 19th in the Ruin Courtyard at Mill City Museum. More at millcitymuseum.org. My name's Bill DeVille. Mark Weed, our evening host, joins us. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Bill. What's up?
Not much. Weekender Danny Sigelman also in the house. How you doing, Danny?
Hey, Bill.
Nice to have you aboard.
Thank you.
Ryan Adams has a new album. He's had a few of those in the last few years, but this one is a little bit different. He's been sober for a year now. Ryan even stated in the New York Times that, without exaggerating, it's a miracle I didn't die. He's back with his old manager, John Silva, and eager to get his career back on track. Sales have been shrinking since his Gold album back in 2001. His biggest issue musically has been that he isn't a very good editor of himself. He writes songs and records songs and releases them without really going through the process of what are his strongest songs and which one should be discarded. That's the nice thing about this new album. All 13 songs are good, fully realized tunes. Many reflect upon love and his newfound sobriety. Ryan Adams' new album is titled Easy Tiger. Here's a taste of a song called Two.
You take me back to your place. I'll try not to bother you, I promise. 'Cause it's cold in here, and I wish it was hard. The sink's broken, it's leaking from the faucet. And I'm fractured from the fall.
That's brand new music from Ryan Adams. His album is called Easy Tiger. Album has that California vibe with hints at the Grateful Dead, Graham Parsons. It also has a very melancholy feel throughout. A good number of the songs he hints at his addictions to drugs and how he can't go it alone, like the song we just listened to. And features lyrics like, the sink's broke and it's leaking from the faucet, and I'm fractured from the fall and I want to go home, but it takes two and it used to take one. Powerful stuff from Ryan Adams. Mark, is this album working for you?
Well, I have come at it from the point of view of never been a huge fan or connoisseur of Ryan's music, and I think that always starts you off on a different foot. I've read a lot of the reviews and a lot of the blog entries that fans seem really, really pleased that he seems to be healthy, like you said, and seems to be back in the groove, seems to have some kind of editing process, because, yes, this is a tight album. That track you picked, probably the closest he gets to being a little too sappy and clean-cut for my liking. Sheryl Crow's on that. And
that scares me a little
I kind of wince there. But
Soak
that's,
Up the Sun, just I right. think that song, it's like, oh, goodness.
But other places, like you said, he's been compared to Jerry Garcia. Jeff Buckley in places, too. I hear a little Neil Young in there, too. And I think track 9, Pearls on a String, is just traditional country, perfect voice. This guy, when he nails it, he's got like a voice that fits this style of music, which now I say that seems dumb to say, but it works, you know. He seems like he's coming from a country tradition there.
Glorious kind, always on time, never far out of reach. Tomorrow's on its way, there's always new songs to sing. Glorious kind, always on time, pearls on a string.
And again, lyrically, there's some strong points. These girls turns that idea onto the head and said, these girls are better off in my head, staying in his head. And there's a lot of that, a lot of internalization, obviously, the process he's gone through the last couple of years, being pretty well put down as a songwriter. And, you know, that's basically what this guy is. And I'd like to think that this is a strong return to form, and I hope he can pull it off live, because that's been his Achilles heel now and again. Some of his antics on stage, I think, have lost a lot of fans and not won him many friends in the business. So maybe this is a turning point for him, which would be good to see.
You mentioned his vocals, Mark. I really dig the vocals on this one, especially in the song Goodnight Rose. He crams all these words into a melody, and it doesn't seem like all those words are going to fit into the melody, but somehow or another, I don't know what he does, but he manages to make it work.
Yeah, that's the first song on the album. It really impressed me because for that exact reason, he kind of twists the traditional song structure and tries to fit too much in, which is kind of what this guy has been criticized for in the past. Mm-hmm. It's like he tries to fit too much in. He tries to put too much material out there. So it was kind of nice for him to start this album off with a kind of song which crystallizes what I think his strengths are. But he'd kept it within a three and a half minute, very gorgeous and hookable pop song.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of with Mark. I've never been a Ryan Adams fan. I kind of got into Whiskey Town, but Ryan Adams, I think he does put out too much stuff. And as much as I appreciate somebody that's that creative, I think for me personally, if I'm already not a fan, it's hard to get into it now. And this stuff is a little too slow for me.
It's all mid-tempo-y, I will say that. But I think it's the place where he's at right now. And, he'll feel like rocking down the road a little
bit.
I mean,
it's a beautiful story that he's cleaned up his act and he's making great music. I mean, it sounds like this is the best stuff he's done in at least a long time. I know the last few records I couldn't even get through.
Yeah, Cold Roses I thought was a strong album, but since then he's totally lost.
Yeah, and, there's something to be said about, focusing, and it sounds like that's where he's at. Thank goodness for him.
Thanks to the Cardinals too, Bill. I mean, some people started to get confused with the name. Sometimes he would use the Cardinals, and apparently this is the same set of guys, right?
Same set of dudes, and he wanted to call this album the Cardinals, and he was squished like a bug by the record label. Of course, the Ryan Adams cares.
And
a
then
little
it,
more.
Isn't there like some sort of like heavy metal side project that he does too, or some sort of punk thing?
Well, he's been dabbling in all kinds of different stuff. It's hard to keep track. And then of course there was the Oasis fix that he went through, or he always wanted. Yeah, he was covering.
I mean, you got to give it to Ryan Adams. He's an interesting character. He's got a story, and it's great that now he's kind of able to slow down and tell his story a little more without the haze.
Is it working for you? Go to Minnesota Public Radio when you click on The Current and look for Music Heads. Danny, your pick.
Band called Battles, kind of considered a super group of sorts, I guess, for the genre known as math rock. You guys know what math rock is?
You're going to tell us what math rock is,
Well,
right?
I think
can
it involves,
in
like,
sentence or less?
if you were to look at a page of math rock music, amongst the notation of notes, you would find, like, a square root sign and then maybe divided by and multiplied. It's hard to explain. And what it comes down to is like this punk ethic of making music that is could definitely be considered prog without kind of the psychedelics and maybe
punk
some of
ethic
the
ethic and prog. You lose me.
I know. I think it's for hipster punks that like to jam but don't want to admit that they're kind of hippie-ish. So they kind of. I think that's maybe what it comes down to. I don't know. I really like a lot of groups that are considered math rock. I like.
The names of bands for people who don't know what it is? Who would be the godfathers of math rock?
I think for math rock, one would think of like a band like Tortoise or Slint.
Yeah.
Then, of course, Don Caballero, which is one of the members of that band that kind of came up from the 90s. Ian Williams is the guitarist in Battles. And we're going to hear a track from their debut LP. They've had a few EPs, and Mirrored is the full-length LP everybody's been waiting for. This is my favorite track from it called Lion Decker. So, yeah, you got Ian, you have John Stainer, who was in the band Helmet on drums, and then Dave Konopka, and then Tyondi Braxton doing the eerie, strange vocals. He's kind of known as a jazz avant-garde vocalist. And
Word jazz guy, huh?
Weird jazz guy.
word jazz.
Word jazz, exactly. And that's Battles. I think people are really getting into this record in a strange way. I don't think this is...
Did you play it at parties then,
been, Well, I think a track like that definitely could come out as a dance track. And mm-hmm. a big part of what I think is exciting for people about Battles is they are real instrumentalists, but they're definitely using technology the way a lot of electronic artists would in editing things together and manipulating the sounds and processing everything. And it's very, very brainy stuff. But I think tracks like that and others on here definitely have kind of a dance beat.
New music from Battles, and the album is titled Mirrored. Mark, is working for you?
Well, like Danny said, this is all music put it great. They put that this is never has the wall of electronic futurism sounded so organic. And I give the guys that. I mean, I'm right off the bat, I've got to say, I'm not a huge fan of math rock. I was never quite sure what it entailed, but Wiki says it's a complex, atypical, rhythmic, structured music with lots of stop-start dynamics and angular, dissonant riffs. So right there, if that's exactly what math rock is, I'm not going to like it. But with a track like the one that Danny just played, if you put it on at a club, I might think, yeah, this is minimalist kind of techno, and especially without the vocals, it works for me in a lot of places. But I got to say, the whole album, I just could not enjoy from start to finish.
No.
One of the main reasons is because of the vocals. To be honest, I accept that these guys are great instrumentalists. I just don't get the vocal approach. On every time they add, I saw one reviewer call it Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
Or Munchkin sounds. And, you know, to me, that undermined it. And I don't know if they consciously said to themselves, you know what? Everyone thinks math rock is so pretentious. We're never going to get away with this unless we do something that really underplays it and makes cartoon noises on the top of it, so we're not taking ourselves too seriously. Well, for me, that totally lost pretty much every track that happened on.
You know, I kind of gave up this whole sort of music when I heard the Sex Pistols and the Clash in the 70s,
yeah.
And I never really looked back. I want something more immediate, something upbeat, fun.
Something with, I think this music doesn't have much feeling there, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of soulless.
If you're listening to Ryan Adams crying his heart out, it's hard to go to the Battles record, you know. But I'm a fan of music. I mean, anytime something is being done differently in a new way or much like an old way but newer and improved or different, I don't know. I think it's exciting, and there's some interesting moments on this record. It's not only kind of proggy, but it's very krautrocky. There is definitely that sort of German Kraftwerk feeling.
But doesn't it kind of lose its effect when you have the chipmunk styled vocals and it makes you snicker?
I guess so. I mean, hey, this isn't for everybody, and it's definitely not the type of thing I necessarily, you know, put on at the end of the night or anything. But like, it's cool this is happening and kind of catching on and making people think about music a little differently.
Yeah, I saw one reviewer, the quote was, "Reminds us of nothing we've heard before." Now, if you're a
reviewer... That's a compliment, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I got to think that they were younger than perhaps Danny and I or you are, Bill. Mm-hmm. And again, as a music head, if you haven't heard something like this before, then this is a really good example out of it. Go and listen to it as an educational exercise, if nothing else. But I think what I'm trying to say is that the reviews that have been really good about this are kind of younger music fans who really haven't had this level of expertise instrumentally done this way before.
Yeah, it's brand new to them.
And the album is titled Mirrored. Is it working for you? Go to MinnesotaPublicRadio.org when you click on the current and look for Music Heads. Mark Wheat's pick.
I've got Spoon's brand new one. Bill, it's called Ga, 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 Ga.
Are you supposed to say it faster?
Ga, Ga, Ga,
perhaps.
Ga, Ga.
But it doesn't come with instructions. Spoon have been based around Britt Daniel, who writes the songs, plays guitars, and Jim Eno is his sidekick. They've had kind of several supporting casts over the years. They started back in the mid-90s and really came out of the gun with a bang. Their debut album, Telefono, was raved about at the time. And at the time, a lot of the major labels were looking around at which bands are going to follow Sonic Youth and the Pixies and start to become kind of the mature indie rock bands. And Spoon were picked up around that time, pretty early in their career, by Elektra, right at the time when the major labels decided, well, maybe this is not going to work, and they got dropped again, and went on a two-year period where it looked really dicey for them of whether they were going to survive. They came back with a series of sneaks in 1998, and since then have kind of built on their popularity with Girls Can Tell and Gimme Fiction, especially in 2005, I thought should have been a big hit. That was their time. Maybe this is going to be it. Ga 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 Ga, brand new Spoon. Here's a song called The Underdog.
You creep from the middle man. You got no time for the messenger. Got no regard for the thing that you don't understand. You got no fear of the underdog. That's why you will not survive.
Hey, Mark, I believe it was a couple of episodes ago you were mentioning horns are the new strings.
Exactly. That's
right. I think you're onto something.
Well, I think the Spoon are onto something. They've nailed it. They've even got hand claps, and they're singing about the underdogs. They almost crystallize, you know, what's great about indie rock in some of these songs on this new one. Don't Make Me a Target is the kickoff track. That kind of is a reprise of their big hit so far, That's the Way We Get By, with a great guitar freakout at the end. Couple of other tracks on here as well. You Got Your Cherry Bomb, we've been playing, which just sounds like a big sweet pop hit when you play it on the radio.
I hear Motown on that one.
Yeah,
a lot of Motown.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Blow out that cherry bomb.
But I gotta say, My Little Japanese Cigarette Case, another track that I've played a little bit. But that's four tracks, guys, and I'm coming at this like I wanted this to be. I thought the last one should have made them famous. I wanted this one to be the one where no one could deny them. But I think they've fallen down. Three or four tracks are really strong, but there's a lot of filler on this for a 10-track album, and it didn't win me over after repeated listeners, which I'm kind of disappointed about.
I'm surprised, man. I wasn't gaga about it, but I actually really I really like the new record. I think one of the cooler songs on here that is different for Spoon, I think, is The Ghost of You Lingers, numbered track two. It kind of starts off with this really chugging piano, and then his voice is literally lingering in the background. One thing that impresses me most about Spoon is that they have persevered all this time.
That is impressive.
How many bands from that era, from the early to mid-90s, that are still around? I had the conversation with Betty Severt when they were in here. You know, indie rock was the thing, and all these labels were signing them, and then they just crashed and burned because there was such a big setup. And I think when bands like this can still put out decent records, which I think this is, I agree, it's probably not as good as...
Gimme Fiction?
Gimme Fiction, or even Girls Can Tell. I mean, that record to me was like, we're still here and now we're doing this. And it's like, wow, that band is still around and they're making great rock records. I think that's another important thing to note. It's like we've been talking about the return to rock and roll now for like 3 or 4 years and these bands are still going, you know, the Strokes and Spoon and White Stripes and such.
A few things I want to say is you both mentioned the first two tracks. I think that's their big misstep. Track number one does nothing. It's kind of lyrically repetitive to me.
Mm-mm.
First song on a CD, bad choice. And track number two, I think, is kind of cool, but that's a last song on the album kind of deal with the speaker separation going on in that.
Yeah, I think that that fails too, Bill. I'm down
You guys
it,
are right? harsh, man.
They are a rock and roll band, piano-driven. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think of piano-driven acts, you know,
Joe
you think,
Jackson.
Yeah, Ben Folds, Rufus Wainwright.
Mm-hmm.
At least these guys rock. You know, nothing against Ben Folds or Rufus Wainwright, but they don't really rock very much. And this is a pretty tight album, 10 songs, 36 minutes. That's, you know, they even put it on their press kit that's
the... I know. See, that really turned me off. Yeah. Merge Records are but like, this is the same length as some of the greatest albums ever made. And I'm like... And that's the only comparison you can make. I mean, seriously, I hate it when a record label does that, to be honest, because it sets the band up. And I was a little leery when I saw that. I was like, I hope they can pull it off, but I don't think they have. They've given us a CD EP, a really strong EP, which they should have put out. I don't know why it's not stronger.
So you're saying there should have been only been one song for each guy? Change my heart. I find it a commercial appeal. A little less heartache will get chased away.
All right, in this episode of Music Heads, we talked about Ryan Adams' new release, Easy Tiger. We also listened to and chatted about Battle's Mirrored album and Spoon's brand new one. Let's see if I can do this. Ga, 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 ga.
Perfect.
Thanks, Danny and Mark.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thanks.
It's a wrap. Thanks for checking it out. Don't forget the podcast version of the show is available to download anytime. Click on Music Heads when you go to the Currents page at minnesotapublicradio.org. Program is produced by Steve Seal. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Michael Wells is the podcast production coordinator, and Julia Schrenkler manages the show's online discussion, which we want you to be a part of. If you want to agree or disagree with anything you've heard on the show, click on the Current at minnesotapublicradio.org and look for Music Heads. I'm Bill DeVille. We'll reconvene in another week for another installment of Music Heads, presented by 89.3 The Current from Minnesota Public Radio. It's gonna change my heart. I'll find it in commercial appeal. A little less heartache will get chased away.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new turbocharged Acura RDX with available real-time traffic alerts. More at acura.com/RDX.